Anyone over the age of 60 is invited to join Copper Country Senior Meals at our congregate meal sites that are located throughout Houghton and Keweenaw County. These meals are affordable, nutritious, delicious, and maybe most importantly, a great experience for those who attend. You'll make new friends, meet some incredible volunteers and staff who put the meal on, and ultimately find yourself a community of people you'll create almost a family-like relationship with. The only qualification for this is to be 60 or over. Learn more at coppercountryseniormeals.org or by calling 483-1155.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. We're brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. You can learn more about them, of course, at phfgive.org. And remember, their big Giving Tuesday event is just around the corner. A lot of worthy organizations that you can support that they will provide matching funds for. So please follow along with that. We'll have more about that on our radio stations over the next few days. It's an exciting time in high school sports right now. As I'm recording this, it is Friday morning at 9 o'clock. And I'm looking forward to calling Calumet's semifinal volleyball game. And yesterday I called actually the semifinal volleyball game for the West, for the Forest Park team, who unfortunately lost in that match to Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart. But I thought as long as we're right on sports, I'd check in with the Michigan High School Athletic Association, kind of get their take on how things are going, what's going on, and how all of this works, particularly around tournament time. Jeff Kimmerly joins me for the program. Jeff, welcome to Copper Country Today.
Hey, glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Now, as you and I are talking here on Friday morning, there are a number of things going on. You are going to be heading out in a couple of hours to Marquette, because you're going to be there for the division, the eight-player division football championships that are going to be played at the Superior Dome. I, on the other hand, who am normally in the UP, am downstate and getting ready to call the volleyball games. And as you and I are talking, it's snowing like crazy here in Southwest Michigan. All of the schools are closed. Kellogg Community College in Battle Creek has shut down for the day. But the tournament will still be going on because there's a ton of logistics that go into this, isn't there?
I mean, you really are correct on that. And it's not just things that happen today, but things that have been in the works for months and months. You know, we're hopeful, obviously, that by the time our matches get going today in Battle Creek, that a lot of the snow is clear and conditions are pretty good. Over here in Lansing, it snowed all night as well, so I had one kid with no school, and the other two do have school. And I know Issa here, talking to one of my reporters in Port Huron, he said it hadn't really snowed there at all. So the irony of this whole thing is I'm going north trying to avoid snow, hopefully. Although that's probably some wishful thinking. But, yeah, we have a lot of people in a lot of moving parts getting us ready to get through what really is one of our busiest weekends of the entire school year.
Yeah, I was talking with somebody, and I said, you know, Calumet is coming down from the Upper Peninsula. They're already in Battle Creek, so their transportation isn't a problem. They're playing Kalamazoo Christian High School, which really is only about 30 miles away from Kellogg Arena. They're the ones that might have trouble getting there this morning, ironically, because it's just a mess on the west side of the state. But, you know, having been at the tournament yesterday, seeing the numbers of volunteers who are there helping out, the number of people who work on this, it would be almost impossible to reschedule it, wouldn't it?
Well, it would, and it's kind of a neat situation what we do have going, especially this weekend, because, you know, among the people that you're seeing at volleyball is the East Lansing Athletic Director, who we used to be the Corona coach, and she's helped us out at volleyball for a number of years. But we also have people from all over the place who come in to help with that. It's one of our bigger championship events. You know, at the same time, there's four of us heading up to Marquette to do things there, and we also have swimming and diving for girls in the Lower Peninsula this weekend. So we have that at three sites down here as well, and plenty of people from all over the place coming to assist with that. And at the same time, we also, MHSA staff, which rarely happens, is hosting a semifinal football game at DeWitt, because DeWitt, their staff, administration, et cetera, will be at DeWitt's semifinal at another school. So MHSA staff is actually hosting a Division I semifinal on DeWitt's field, and by the sounds of it this morning, we're recruiting everybody on staff that's available to kind of help dig out things before we can get that game going tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge for some of the schools down here in the Lower Peninsula that rarely get to play in the snow. We in the Upper Peninsula, we handle that kind of thing all the time. Of course, you'll be indoors at the Superior Dome in Marquette for those eight-player championship games that are going to be played tomorrow. But good luck avoiding the snow on the way, because we're getting a dump in the Western Upper Peninsula as well. So, it's one of those things that we deal with in Michigan. I was struck by some of the comments. North Central, who was it? No, it was Munising. Munising was hosting, who were they hosting last week? Help me out there in the eight-player division final.
Merrill
from the Saginaw area. There was some comments that were being pointed out on Merrill's website about, oh, why do we have to make this trip up north? It's probably going to be snowy and things like that. Of course, we in the UP, we make these trips all the time. And,
absolutely.
You know, and the comments are made. And I think there's a base understanding underneath why this has to happen, because there are few of us up north and there are many down south. And so, the occasional trip that we have to make is probably the necessary evil. But how do you go about, as the administration for all of this, how do you go about selecting sites and deciding who's going to play where along the way in these tournaments?
Well, and it's actually a really interesting question, because this is one of the few seasons since I've been around, which is going on 12 years, that we haven't had an 11-player semifinal at the Superior Dome. We have only two UP teams left. Their opponents just happen to be very far south or west in the Lower Peninsula, so we're having them meet in the middle a little bit more. But frequently, we'll have those games at the Superior Dome on Friday night because, of course, if the UP team wins, they come all the way down to Detroit the following weekend, and we try to balance that out at least a little bit. But to answer your original question, we ask, over the course of a season, what schools would like to potentially host a semifinal. We try and put all of our semifinals on artificial turf, and when we get to a couple weeks out, we have a decent idea where games could be played. I think one of them, we had four options, in fact. You know, if this team wins, we'll go here. If this team wins, we'll go here, et cetera. And then by last weekend, by regional finals weekend, we can really whittle that down. And I think we had that posted by Saturday night. But the factors are really, again, does the school have turf? Does the school want to host? And is everything going to be able to work out where at least it's hopefully somewhat in the middle of both schools? It's funny because I know up there, an hour's drive is like 10 minutes for people down here. That's just kind of what you guys do up there. And we had a caller on another radio thing I do down here say, we have to travel 40 minutes and the team we're playing only has to travel 20 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, if that's the worst you've got going, I think we're doing okay. So I think people assume that every school is at our disposal and we can always go play anywhere we want. And it's not just for football, for basketball, for volleyball, for whatever. Schools volunteer their facilities because obviously we need them to help run these tournaments. And if a school isn't available, we can't just show up there and say, hey, we're having a game today. So that's really how we end up with a lot of these. And of course, like I said, generally, we do end up at the Superior Dome this year. We're not, but frequently we do.
Do host schools get anything out of hosting these tournament games, even at the district level? Do they get a little bit of a share of the ticket sales? Do they get concessions, things of that nature? Is there a financial benefit?
Yeah, all of the above. Generally, they get all of the concessions. They can do parking. They do get a share of the gate as well for running this whole thing. So we try to make it worth their while. And, of course, our places where we have larger audiences, that share comes out to be a little bit more from a percentage standpoint, just because of the total gate. But schools can definitely make some money hosting those games. And, you know, at the same time, we certainly have a lot of schools and a lot of administrators who host games for us, really out of the kindness of their hearts, knowing that we need to be able to play these games somewhere. And this is a part of the, you know, sum whole for the season. And so we are appreciative of that always as well.
Yeah, I was thinking about that in Gaylord Tuesday night when I was there. They host a lot of games. And, of course, they're a large facility and kind of in the middle of things up here. So I'm sure they get prevailed upon a lot to do this.
They do. And their athletic director is awesome. I mean, they host everything up there. I can't even tell you how many events he's hosted himself, but I think it's something, it's got to be in the hundreds over the last 10, 15 years. So Gaylord's a big place for us. You know, Petoskey is becoming a big place for us because they have a college football stadium basically on campus. So it really works out well. You know, we do a ton, obviously, at Marquette. You know, among other places up there as well. So Manistique, I think, has hosted some things for us quite a bit. We certainly have some places that we're very familiar with, and obviously that makes us very comfortable going to those places over and over again as well.
I've looked at the upcoming basketball tournament schedules once again because we're already starting to have to think ahead in that regard, and we saw it in the volleyball schedules as well. Explain how these non-traditional brackets work, because in our area we have a lot of these where, you know, somebody Sure. is listed as a host, but then maybe they don't even get to host a game.
Well, and this really was an idea that was started with the UP in mind. I believe non-traditional tournaments began probably around 2006, 2007, something like that. And what that allows for is when you have a bracket that's drawn where, and this is obviously not a bracket that would ever happen, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Say Houghton and Hancock were playing each other in a first-round game, but the actual site host was Escanaba. Well, it doesn't make any sense for Houghton and Hancock to drive to Escanaba to play each other. So when you have a non-traditional setup, they're allowed to play that game at whoever's on the top line of the bracket, and that can continue throughout the bracket. You know, generally at the end, the final does usually get played at the host site. It just seems to work out that way. But the non-traditional bracket allows for schools to not have to travel so far to play somebody who's really next door. We do something kind of similar downstate when we try to make some adjustments, move some games around where it just doesn't make sense. We a lot of times we have Kalamazoo and Battle Creek schools play in Lansing, and we'll move those games back over closer to Battle Creek or Kalamazoo to make those work. So it's just a way to save schools some time, some travel money, some travel, you know, everything else, expenses, and it's been a good thing.
Talking with Jeff Kimmerly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, let's talk about a problem that I know we have in our area and I think is probably shared in most areas across the state. We need more officials, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. We need to bring more in and we need to hold on to the ones that we have. And it's something that we've seen a little bit of improvement on post-COVID, but we took such a dive during COVID. You know, something like almost 20%, that what we're making up now is just getting us back to sea level, if you will. You know, we've done a pretty decent job recruiting, but where we run into some real issues is retaining. When we have officials who are getting into things, you know, they're learning, they're being mentored, they're getting games at lower levels. That's the way this thing should work. But frequently what happens now is they run into some pretty bad fan behavior right away, some pretty ridiculous expectations. People expect our officials to be perfect. They're human. That's never going to happen. And by the way, they're learning also, especially when we're talking middle school and freshman and even JV levels. So, you know, we need to really we're trying to figure out a way to improve that fan behavior, because that's something that we hear from our officials who don't come back as one of, if not the biggest reason. They have a hard time dealing with adult spectator behavior. And so that's something we need to work on, because we need to be able to retain these younger officials, especially as our current officials continue to grow older year by year.
Yeah, every once in a while somebody asks me why I don't criticize officials and bad calls, or what they think are bad calls, on my radio broadcasts. And I say, well, first and foremost, I don't know everything that's going on the field around those officials. They're generally in much better position than I am to make calls. And secondly, when I become a perfect broadcaster and I make every call right, then maybe I'll have the right to expect that level of perfection from someone around me, but I'm not going to get to that point. And they're human.
Well, and that's really what it is, too. I think game officials on a whole are far more accurate than people realize. They'll see one mistake or two mistakes, but in the course of that whole game, an official's gotten 97, 98%, 99% of what is seen out there correct. So it really can be unfair. We've preached perspective around here for, I was in the media for 12 years before I started at the MHSAA. So I've been around this thing for about 25 years, not counting as a kid actually playing. And, you know, perspective has always been something that's been preached, quite a bit. And people need to remember, this isn't a life or death situation. This isn't the Super Bowl. This isn't the Masters. This isn't name your biggest sports event out there. These are high school athletics, and yeah, they mean a lot, and we're glad they mean a lot, because we think they mean a lot too. But some of the criticisms that get thrown around when our people are out there trying to work, basically for love of the game, they get paid, of course, but really it's because they care about it. It's gotten to a level that really we just need to get away from here. You know, it can't keep going higher.
Yeah, and certainly in the Copper Country, we are seeing instances now where games are being scheduled at rather odd times sometimes because they can't get enough officials at the traditional times for those games. We had a couple of football games over the last couple of years that would have been played Friday nights. It got moved to Saturdays. So we've got that shortage of officials, and a lot of those officials I see are looking grayer and grayer every year, just as I am. So if you are at all interested in becoming an official, there are ways to go about it. You can go to the Michigan High School Athletic Association website. You can contact your athletic director at your local school and find out how to do this. I did talk in response to the comment you made about the fan behavior. I asked one official recently about that, and he said, you know, at least when I'm out on the court, he said, I don't hear that from the fans at all. If I'm out on the field, I don't hear that from the fans at all. I'm focused on the game. It blows right past me. So the officials that I know are wonderful people, and they do a great job, and they enjoy what they're doing, and I would encourage folks to get involved.
And, you know, it really is a cool thing to be involved with. We really preach this, especially with people who are coming right out of sports. Generally, it's a way to stay involved. It's a way to stay in shape. It's a way to make some really nice money on the side. One of the communities that we're really working with or hoping to promote this to moving forward is the sports empty nester community. These parents and other relatives who have been involved in local athletics for 10, 12, however many years, all of a sudden their kids are all gone. They've moved on, they moved out, and now these parents, they aren't involved anymore, but they really have a chance to stay involved if they want to become an official. And it's not like they have to go jump into a varsity contest. We need people in seventh grade. We need people in eighth grade. We need people at the freshman level. We need people to start track meets. We need people to, be line judges in volleyball. There are a lot of different options and a lot of different opportunities depending on what somebody would want to do as an official. And it's a great way to stay involved, and there are so many benefits to it. And if we can just work on this fan behavior a little bit, it'll get even better.
The Michigan High School Athletic Association has made a point over the last few years of promoting multi-sport athletic participation. I'm talking with Jeff Kimmerly from the MHSAA. What are the benefits of that? And, you know, speaking from an area where we have one sport, hockey, that does tend to be focused on rather exclusively by some folks, what are the benefits of getting involved in other sports as opposed to just focusing on one?
Yeah, you know, and up there, especially in other sports, with a lot of smaller communities, you do have the benefits of having a lot of your athletes doing multiple sports, which we, of course, love to see. There's so many benefits to it, from the physical, improved range of motion, improved fitness, using different muscles for different skills, just great ways to become a total athlete. And really, it's good for avoiding injury as well. There was a study by the University of Wisconsin a few years ago that showed something like 50% of, if single sport athletes who play just one thing had a 50% higher chance of suffering injury than multi-sport athletes. So there's just physical benefits just piling up that way. Outside of just the physical parts, the opportunity to be on a variety of teams, to be able to play with a variety of other classmates, from a social standpoint, from an educational standpoint, just the lessons that you learn playing sports. When you play on multiple teams, the opportunity for some variety there just grows. We like to talk about the opportunity to be different roles on different teams. Where you've got, say, somebody who is your star quarterback but might be your 10th person on the basketball team, or might be your, you know, backup catcher on the baseball team, or, you know, your top hitter on softball, or whatever it is. The opportunity to be a star in one sport and a support person in another sport. Just the lessons, again, that you learn from things like that, and from developing camaraderie and developing relationships, and, you know, things that you can carry on far past when the actual playing days are done. You get those in any sport, but the more sports an athlete plays, the more opportunities the athlete's going to have to be able to take advantage, capitalize on those things.
Our schools are shrinking. In the Upper Peninsula, when we dropped back to 8-player football a few years ago, it kept football alive in some of those small schools, even brought it back in a couple of small schools. But now we're seeing a point where some of these schools are shrinking back and not even able to maintain teams like that. We've got some teams now that can't even field basketball teams very effectively anymore. Are there things that the MHSAA can do to help keep those shrinking schools in the game, so to speak? Would we consider 6-player or 5-player football at some point, as some states do?
I don't think we'll ever go down further in terms of the number of players on the field. I feel like 8-player has really taken off, and we have about 100 teams that play 8-player. Going down to 6 or 5 hasn't been talked about as much, but I think what will be an option, and really what should be an option for schools that want to continue to play 11-player, frankly, is to form a co-op with a neighboring school. When there's a cooperative program, you combine the two enrollments for classification purposes to decide what division you fall in. And, you know, we have a few of them up there. We have a number of them in a variety of sports downstate. Hockey especially, we have tons and tons of co-ops, because hockey is one of those sports that participation has gotten lower and lower, and fewer schools have been able to maintain, one team for that school. So I think hopefully that'll be an option that more schools look at. I know up there, obviously, schools are a little far away from each other generally, but there are still ways, to be able to form some teams like that and to keep those sports going. Not just football, but a lot of sports.
Yeah, and we've had some successful co-ops up here, the Gogebic Miners down in the west end of the UP, Ontonagon and Ewan Trout Creek, their football co-op has been very successful. Some others have struggled, and they tend sometimes to be a little bit one-sided. All of a sudden you're in a co-op with 3 other schools, and you're getting maybe 8 players from them for your football team, and you're contributing 20. Sometimes it seems to push those teams up into a division that maybe isn't warranted. Is there any way to address that?
Well, the one way we are addressing it in hockey, actually, is we have split our divisions so that when we decide by enrollment still where schools fall, We have all of these single school programs on one side and all of the co-op programs on one side, and we're splitting those evenly into three divisions first, then combining them. And what that's doing is keeping some schools in the divisions that they probably should be in instead. Again, like you mentioned, those schools where their enrollment goes way up, but maybe they're only contributing one athlete to a co-op. One athlete from a school of 200 is going to shoot that team up the enrollment ladder a little bit for just one student. So doing something like that with hockey, this is the first year we've done it, and so this will be maybe the experiment to see how that operates for others. But, you know, if co-op programs continue to grow, I'm sure we'll look at those things more. You know, above all else, well, there's a lot of things we say above all else, obviously, but, you know, health and safety is always our number one thing. I'd say competitive equity is probably our number two.
And above all, and above all else, we're out of time in the segment. So, Jeff Kemmerly, thank you so much. As we're talking Friday morning, have a safe trip up to Marquette and enjoy those two football games that are going to be played on Saturday. And thank you for your time on Copper Country Today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.